Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something absolutely core to finance, but maybe a bit behind the scenes. Audit risk. Ever wonder how you actually know if a company's financial reports are, well, trustworthy?
Exactly. It's about way more than just checking the math.
Definitely not just checking sums.
No. And today we're really going to unpack what auditors look at to make sure that information is reliable for you. You know, whether you're investing or just curious about financial honesty, we've got some comprehensive sources guiding us.
Okay, so let's unpack this, starting right at the core. What actually is audit risk?
Well, put simply, it's the risk that an auditor gives the wrong opinion. They say the financial statements look fine.
A clean bill of health.
Yeah. Right. When in reality, those statements have significant errors, material misstatements, as we call them, hidden problems.
And that's huge because it's all about trust, isn't it? If that risk is high or if they miss something.
Precisely. The whole system kind of relies on auditors managing this risk down to what's called an acceptably low level. If they don't, well, the foundation of financial reporting starts to crumble. That trust erodes.
Okay, so it's not just one single thing. Our sources talk about breaking it down. There are, what, two main components?
That's right. You've got the risk of material misstatement, often just called RMM, and then you have detection risk.
RMM, risk of material misstatement. So that's the risk that financials are already wrong before the audit even starts.
Exactly. It's the inherent vulnerability, you could say. And RMM itself actually splits into two subtypes.
Okay.
First, there's inherent risk. Think about things that are just naturally tricky or complex, like valuing really specialized inventory that might go obsolete quickly, or maybe accounting for super complex financial instruments.
Right. Things that are just prone to error because they're complicated or subjective.
Yeah, exactly. Or highly regulated areas. That's inherent risk. The second part of RMM is control risk.
Control risk. So that sounds like it's about the company's unchecks and balances.
You got it. It's the risk that the company's internal controls their own systems designed to prevent or catch errors simply fail to do their job. If their controls are weak, mistakes can slip through.
Okay, so RMM covers the risks inside the company, the inherent nature and their controls. Then what about the other piece? Detection risk.
Ah, yes. So detection risk is squarely on the auditor's side. It's the risk that the auditor's own procedures, the tests they perform, fail to find a material misstatement that actually exists.
I see. So if the RMM, those inherent and control risks, is high,
then the auditor has to do more work, more rigorous testing to bring that detection risk down. They need to compensate to keep the overall audit risk low. It's like a seesaw, an inverse relationship.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So how do auditors actually, you know, navigate all this? This sounds like where professional skepticism really comes into play. And it's not just being negative or cynical, right?
No, absolutely not. It's much more nuanced. It's described as an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It includes having a questioning mind, being alert to things that might suggest misstatement due to error or fraud, and critically assessing the audit evidence.
Like a detective's mindset almost.
Yeah.
Show me the proof.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. So for instance, if management tells the auditor, oh, don't worry, that big overdue receivable, it'll definitely be paid soon. A skeptical auditor doesn't just nod along. They'll think, okay, but maybe management is biased here. They don't want to write it off. So they'll look for independent evidence, like maybe checking bank statements after the year end to see if the cash actually came in, or looking at correspondence with the customer. They need reliable evidence.
Which brings up another key idea, materiality. Because not every little typo or error matters equally, does it? What makes something material?
Exactly. Materiality is fundamental. An error or omission is considered material if it could reasonably be expected to influence the economic decisions of someone using those financial statements. It's about the impact.
So it's not just a hard dollar amount, though there are benchmarks.
Right. It involves professional judgment. Auditors do often use benchmarks for size, maybe looking at things over, say, 5% of profit before tax, or maybe 1% of total assets, something like that. But crucially, it's also about the nature of the item.
Ah, okay. Material by nature. What would be an example?
Well, think about a misstatement, even a small one, that relates to regulatory compliance, or maybe something that breaches a loan agreement, a debt covenant. Or a classic example, an error that turns a reported profit into a loss, or vice versa. Those can be material regardless of the dollar amount because they change the whole picture.
That makes total sense. And I think our sources also mentioned performance materiality, something about catching smaller things.
Yes, precisely. Performance materiality is set lower than overall materiality. Auditors use it when designing their specific tests. It acts like a finer net, trying to reduce the risk that a bunch of small, individually immaterial errors could add up and, together, make the whole financial statements materially misstated.
Gotcha. It's like a safety margin.
Kind of, yeah. A way to manage the risk of aggregation.
So beyond these risk assessments and judgment calls, how do auditors even get started? How do they initially sniff out potential problems? There was mention of analytical procedures.
Ah, yes. Analytical procedures are really important, often done early on. It involves looking at financial data by studying plausible relationships. You know, comparing current year ratios like profitability or liquidity to previous years, or to industry averages, or even to non-financial data, like production volumes versus reported sales.
Looking for anomalies, basically. Things that don't quite add up.
Exactly. Unexpected fluctuations or trends that just don't seem right. Those raise red flags and tell the auditor where they might need to dig deeper.
Okay. So pulling this all together, what's the big takeaway for us? It seems like getting reliable financial statements is, well, it's not an accident.
Definitely not. It's the outcome of a really rigorous process. It involves deep risk assessment, right, that essential attitude of professional skepticism we talked about, and a whole lot of careful judgment. It's about actively constructing and defending the trust that we all place in those numbers.
Right. It makes you realize just how much goes into that final opinion on the report.
It really does. And maybe understanding these concepts, audit risk, materiality, skepticism, changes how you interpret news about audits or a company's reported results. It hopefully encourages you to think a bit more critically. What deeper questions might you ask now about those figures, knowing the complex journey they've been on?